Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Over a century ago, the first gauntlets were thrown down. Men fought for pride and glory. Blood was spilt. Reputations were carved from sweat. The battles have continued for decades. An eternal struggle with a thirst for victory always. And to think, this is all over a little ball shaped like an egg. Welcome back. You've never heard the footy like it. This is Triple M Footy.
Yeah. Great to have your company on a Saturday afternoon. Wendell Saylor, James Hooper, Ryan Girdler and Tony Squires with you. Plenty to come in a couple of hours before kickoff. The Gold Coast taking on Newcastle on the Gold Coast. Before then, though, we'll be joined by Peter Sterling to preview that game and so much more. Brad Fittler, the New South Wales coach, will join us just after 2 o'clock. See his latest thoughts on who'll be running around in a Blues jersey. And we'll catch up with the great Mal Meninga on the back of Cameron Smith's retirement from representative footy. As a look at the scoreboard for Tyre Power, what's happened so far this round. The Broncos over the Roosters, 28-22. The Warriors too good for the Eels, 24-14. Thursday night footy, of course, was the Panthers over the Tigers, 16-2. And the news, James Hooper, coming out of last night's game with Dylan Napa, who, of course, was sin bin very late in the game for that head contact with Corbin Sims. What's happened with him so far as a judiciary?
No charges, Tone. Mm-hmm. So he's free to play, Dylan. They've torpedoed Gordy's conspiracy theory about he was going to be rubbed out for
that's
Origin.
3 weeks.
He's free to play, Dylan Napa. So.
He's going to be disappointed, Gordon.
I know.
He wanted to just drive that for the next couple of weeks.
Oh, don't worry,
just
Gordon.
Hammer that.
He'll find something
he'll
else.
He'll find another angle.
Yeah. He will, and we will find this.
What does the fox say?
Foxy. Yeah, Jimmy Fox. Keep it to me. Nice and hard. I love you, Jimmy Fox. Bring it to me.
No. Is there a nice and in there somewhere?
That's
borderline.
That's too far.
Not borderline. That's way
just crossing
over.
The line.
That's 3 weeks. You should miss Origin 1.
Sorry, kids, I'm out.
What have you
Wendell,
got
we're
for
heading up to your old stomping ground, Townsville, the North Queensland Cowboys. They host the South Sydney Rabbitohs up there this afternoon, 5:30 p.m. on Fox League. Okay. And the coach, Paul Green, has decided to make some significant changes. So Michael Morgan is moving to fullback. Lachlan Coote has been dropped.
Wow.
Tamari Martin will go into the halves with Jonathan Thurston, and a young man by the name of Anari Tuala will make his debut for the Cowboys. There's been some raps on him for a little while. Have you heard much about him? Or?
No.
They've moved Morgan back to fullback a couple of times, haven't they, during games, well, at least once in the last game. So it's obviously...
happened against the Raiders a couple of weeks ago. I actually thought they looked really dangerous when he was there, but I think there was some reluctance from Michael Morgan to move back there permanently. But look, he started his career there. He's a dangerous runner of the football. That's his greatest strength. So I think it's a good move.
I was wondering if he's injured still, because, you know, last week when Luke Brooks got into open space, I know that Luke Brooks is quick, but he just sort of pulled, like, he didn't go at 100%, whether, you know, was that hip flex or whatever it was.
I'm wondering if you've actually got mail, because there's been a lot of talk about that. So he had that hip injury, which meant that he missed the start of the season, and he's come back and he can play through it.
Yeah.
But definitely he's not playing a little bit busted. He's carrying something.
Because we've seen him run down some blokes.
Against the Tigers last week, when he got in the clear, I mean, he usually burns that fullback, and he got quite contained.
That's what he did too.
Way too early. Easily. So, I'm under the impression that he's not 100%. But, you know, Lachlan Coote, you know, he's been great for their club for the past couple of years and a premiership winner. And I think he had something to their side as well. But it's going to be interesting. I guess desperate times, desperate measures.
See, they've got to try something. They're anchored to the bottom of the table at the moment. So, in the season's, it's nearly, it's almost gone, Tone.
Yeah.
Look, the other thing that we touched on a little bit earlier, which I think could well develop into a big talking point over the course of the next couple of weeks, is it has been discussed amongst some people involved with the Queensland camp, the possibility of moving Daly Cherry Evans to number nine and playing Daly Cherry Evans at number nine. I think the reason behind that, or a big part of the driving reasoning behind that, is because of his goal-kicking ability. Wendell, you don't have a goal-kicker, a noted goal-kicker.
I can understand them. And, he used to play, I suppose, in the middle there when he used to come off the bench. I think he played six origins, I think. And Yeah, I can understand that thinking too, because I think Valentine Holmes is the only other kicker. So, yeah, I mean...
And he owned that game last week. He was terrific to Manly last week.
It'd be tough enough to play in the middle too.
He's super fit.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I've got no problems. I mean, I think he deserves... You know, I think I said last year that with that structure and, you know, he didn't really fit in or his style of play, but no, this might be the time to give him an opportunity. But, yeah, I still think Macca just ahead of him. But, yeah, but you're right.
We hear Kevy roll out a few more hogwashes if he gets if they decide that they're going to pick him.
Absolutely. And what about there's a young Melbourne player we all know, Brody Croft. What's going on there?
Yeah, Brody Croft. He's obviously been just biding his time in the Intra Super Cup of late up in Queensland. And this week he's been up spending some time with Triple M and Fox League's very own Matthew Johns. Matty's obviously got a very strong affiliation with the Melbourne Storm Club and one of the best halves coaches in the business. So Brody's been up here and he spent some time training with Matty and working on little areas of his game in a bid to obviously, you know, fast track
like comic
his
timing, that sort of stuff.
To like what
comic timing? He teach him a lot, I tell you.
He's worked with
Football
Munster.
Tone.
Yeah, he's worked with Munster. Mate, Cooper right. Cronk when he's switching. And I remember he said something to me a couple about 6 months ago. He goes, "Oh, mate, Tristan's been doing this and that." And he goes, "Mate, if you ever up my way, I wouldn't mind doing some stuff." I told Tristan, and Tristan was that excited. So, you know, those young players and players in general, they love working with Manny, so he's got the Midas touch.
That's it. And also, Tony, look, there's been a lot of talk about the Canberra Raiders. We saw Shannon Boyne sign with the Gold Coast Titans this week on that big four-year deal. But the Raiders, very close. It'll be announced over the course of the next week. Aiden Caesar, their halfback, he'll be staying at the Green Machine. That'll be a couple of years, that deal. So that's good news for Raiders fans.
All right, James Hooper, as ever, thank you so much. Next Thursday night football, the Panthers over the Tigers. We'll get to that. Then we'll be joined by Mal Meninga. On Saturday, Triple M, NRL.
So talking about old-fashioned tone, there's a little bit of footy on today at Henson Park.
Okay. Oh,
Magic
yeah.
round for the ISP, so there's three or four games on there today. You can catch it on 9 or 9 now, and the boys, I think Sowie's out there having a chat about it, but it's they've taken some footy back there recently, and it's great to see, isn't it? You know, some of those old grounds
yes.
and a little bit of life back in them. And
I never
good
got to play that ground. Did you ever get to play there?
Yeah, in reserve grade one time, got to play there. It was hard as a rock.
Oh.
And you can tell,
looks like it's
having a look at it today, yeah, not much changed.
Is it one of those great grounds where you can drive your car in, park it, and blow the horn when there's a try?
Oh.
Yeah, I love that kind
when
of stuff. Flash your lights.
In the night games.
Mate, when I came back to Dragons, Shell Harbour there, Ron Costello Oval, it was real old school, loved it. They turned the lights on and that.
Yeah.
When I scored a try, they just beat their horns and stuff. Oh,
it wasn't old school footy, it was Thursday night school footy. The Panthers over the Tigers, 16-2, they got the job done. I guess the big story to come out of the game was that Nathan Cleary did make his early comeback a couple of weeks more than originally predicted, a couple of weeks earlier, and got through quite beautifully.
Yeah, look, it was going to be interesting to see how he went because James Maloney's done a really good job. You know, everyone talks about, you know, he's missed tackles and this, but James Maloney, he plays with that intensity in attack and defence, and they just seem just to work well together. Nathan Cleary, like, he took control there. I think, you know, he had a try assist. You know, he had a 60, 70-metre run there. They got called back. So he just looked fit, and he just didn't miss a beat out there. You know, his kicking was on point. He was going to the line. But once again, I think Penrith, they didn't play for 80 minutes. They started well. They had three or four line breaks in the first half. They didn't capitalise on a lot of those, and that's because, I suppose, Corey Thompson, the fullback for West Tigers, mate, he's having a good season. Isaiah Yeo back into the into the forwards. But the Panthers, you know, they need to get ruthless. I know they're doing a good job. The two young wingers, I think Crichton was one, and one of those tries I saw...
Tyrone Phillips is the other one.
Mate, I've seen him play in reserve grade. We played against Tristan a couple of times. I just like what they're doing out there, but if they're going to beat the better sides, I suppose, and that they've got to get ruthless for 80 minutes... you know, Trent Merrin did a good job leading from the front, and James Tarmac coming off the bench too.
Well, just on those outside backs, Wendell, they've still got Wonga Blake to come
back
into that back line, and then Josh Mensah as well. So
signed a 3-year deal, well done.
Very handy player.
Yeah.
But Phillips, the leap over the defensive player,
terrific.
Was just fantastic.
Yeah. Brilliant read.
That was something.
Great play.
But there was something out of Any Given Sunday, you know, when you see those, you know, those NFL players do that. Yeah. So, but when he launched, and I can understand when they launch, you got to get that right because he's anticipating that if he gets hit, if he obviously gets, you know, the angle right, then he'll get knocked out, but then knocked over the sideline. Mm. But he gets it right where he still gets a touch on him. But, oh, mate, no self-preservation for those boys. I love what they're doing.
Yeah, it was fantastic to watch. Gerds, all the talk leading into the game was Nathan Cleary's return. He's up against Luke Brooks. A little bit of noise around Jimmy Maloney and possibly being on the outer with the Blues. What did you think of young Nathan? We all know what he can do in attack, but I'll tell you what, it was probably his defence that impressed me the most.
Yeah, his timing was good. His passing was crisp. And I think we saw a couple of times him get in the clear, which was good to see. And he had a light strapping on the knee, but I was out there for the game and had a sort of good eye on him in the warm-up, and he just didn't look hindered by it at all. So even though he came back 2 weeks early, you could see he was 100%, and he certainly didn't favour it during the game. I thought he was really solid. For me, I thought it was probably their biggest test of the season, the Panthers, because, you know, we've all spoken about in the last couple of weeks how they haven't met some of the, you know, the high-flying sides of the competition so far, the Melbournes and the St. George's and so, and probably the best offensive side they've come up against was going to be the Tigers. So it was a big challenge for them. And I thought the Tigers started pretty well. They completed sort of 9 from 9, couldn't crack the Panthers. And then all of a sudden, you know, Merrin goes off and Peachy put on a couple of brilliant plays, charged up and put a shot on Benji Marshall and dislodged the footy. Then the next set, you know, on an early play, his combination with Cleary puts through a kick and comes up and scores the try. And I think that when they scored and against a 12-man Tigers, it gave him a lot of confidence. With 12 men against the Tigers, it gave him a lot of confidence. And on the back of that, I thought they were really dominant in the second half. They scored 3 more tries that were disallowed, but they could have won by more, but I was really impressed with the way, you know, given the fact that they've got a lot of injuries, I think there's some improvement there, but they're plugging away just nicely at the moment.
It was comprehensive, and you touched on there were a lot of tries that were disallowed in that second half, but their line speed, what was it like out there? It looked ferocious.
And they've done that really well all year, you know. I mean, and it's led by a guy called Fisher Harris at the back, and Campbell Gillard doesn't need a lot of encouragement. And the fact that what I thought really turned it for him was after about 30 minutes, they had Campbell Gillard go off with Merrin, and they brought on Kakao and Tarmow. Yeah. And you could just see the Tigers go, oh, really? And those guys did, it was just, you know, line speed in defence, and with the footy, those guys using their footwork at the line and offload. I mean, the Tigers just couldn't handle them the other night. It was a pretty, as you said, Hoops, it was comprehensive.
And Trent Merrin, it's great he came back with that finger injury, all good, but he would have hated that there was. In fact, when he went off in the sin bin, they lifted massively, didn't they? The Panthers.
Yeah.
The 12-man side just absolutely kicked.
It's like he was just out there getting in the way, wasn't it?
Yeah, but also, we don't believe that Mez at all.
Yeah, no. But also, I think the Tigers...
He's playing great, Mez,
he is,
by the way.
Really good.
With Benji and Luke Brooks, they were trying to go around the Panthers.
Yeah.
The Panthers have got a pretty quick side. You've got to go direct. That's where they've been doing their best stuff all year, is going through them and hit them on the edges. And they just look flustered at times. I think Luke Brooks, I think that's his poorest game of the season.
I don't want to bring the referees back into it, but unfortunately there was just no rhythm to the game, especially for the Tigers.
Is it 22 penalties?
There was 45 stoppages in that game. So, you know, you do your math on that, and there's, you know, and Tigers like to wear sides down. They like to get them, you know, they like ball in play. They haven't got a big pack, but they've got a really hard-working sort of physical pack, and they like to wear the bigger sides down. And there was no chance they were going to wear Penrith down with that many stoppages, Penrith being the biggest side the other night.
Yeah. But Tigers fans, obviously, every time they run out there this season, they have given plenty, the Tigers.
Yeah.
Did that again. They were beaten by a better side on Thursday night, but there is still, you know, there is still plenty of hope for them in terms of a top 8 spot.
Yeah, there is. I think, they've lost 4 out of the last 5 games or something too, but, like, they're still in it. Like, they had every opportunity to get beaten by 20 or 30 points on the night, but they still kept turning up and... Big Fanua. He'd feel a bit disappointed, like, you know, letting the boys down, because they needed him. Like, the week before, you know, 230 metres, I think, you know, 2 or 3 line breaks.
He's their spark in attack.
He is, mate. You need that X factor, and he's their X factor.
But again, you've got to congratulate Ivan Cleary and the leadership group, who decide that, you know, if you're late for training or whatever that crime is, then you don't play the game. In terms of culture, that's what you're looking for, isn't it?
I like that decision, Tony. I really like the way that they handled it. Ivan Cleary was happy to come out and let everybody know the reasoning behind it. He was the best player on the field at Leichhardt Oval the week earlier in that great win over the Cowboys. But they've got standards there, and he consulted his leadership group. He's got 5 co-captains, and they all decided that this was the best direction to go. And so Mahe Fanua's got to play ISP this weekend.
So just looking again at the Tyre Power score, but that Thursday night footy game was the Panthers over the Tigers, 16 points to 2. Mal Meninga, the great man, joins us next. Great to have your company on a Saturday afternoon. Plenty ahead for you. We're going to chat with Brad Fittler just after 2 o'clock, see how he's feeling state of origin-wise right now. It is a great treat. In terms of you, Ryan Girdler, as a young, small centre,
yeah.
When a man like Mal Meninga, how early in that career path did you cross paths?
Oh, I didn't, like in my first year, yeah. I played Mal down at Wollongong Showground, I think it was called back in the time when I was about 75 kilos. Yeah, uh-huh. It was a little bit daunting, to be honest.
Did you sledge him?
Oh, yeah. No, I said, hello, Mr. Meninga.
Let's see if the great man remembers the same. Mal Meninga, Mal Meninga, Mal Meninga is here. And aren't we thrilled, Mal? Hello, buddy.
God blimey, what's going on?
It's exactly what you deserve.
You guys bored or something?
Just a little something we've done for you, mate.
Yeah, exactly. Do you remember when the young 75-kilo Ryan Girdler was standing opposite you on a footy field?
He's probably still carrying the bruises.
No, it's dawning. I still, nightmares last night because I knew I was coming on the show today.
Obviously, the huge news during the week, Mal, Cameron Smith deciding that he'd had enough in terms of rep footy. Were you surprised?
A little surprised. I thought Smithy might go for a bit longer. But in hindsight, I sort of realised some signs, certainly through last year and, the way he was, through the World Cup. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I think he's made a really strong, courageous and, unselfish decision as far as, the team rep teams going forward are concerned.
Mal, what was it about Cameron that made him so great at State of Origin level? Was it his ability to control the tempo of the game, play fast when you needed to, and then pull it back a little bit if necessary? Was it his engine? He just consistently punched out 80 minutes after 80 minutes. What was it about Cameron that made him so great?
Complete player, to be honest with you, and complete leader of men, So, all the things you just mentioned, Hoops, but his, general football intelligence is excellent. His decision-making is second to none. His ability to come up with a decision at the right moments, composure, really important. He's he's in the middle of the field. His kicking ability, his ability to bring people under the ball. His ability to run the right times as well at times. So, it's all that really. And he brings confidence to the players around him when he is playing. I think that's a good sign of a good leader is if he's on the field and he's controlling the tempo of the game or controlling his actions, all the people around him seem to follow. And, and those moments, those big moments you need to win, him and John and Billy Slater, all the great players of our game in the modern era, they seem to make the right decisions at the right time.
You played alongside Wally Lewis and then you've coached Cameron Smith. Do you think that he'll be remembered as on par with Wally in terms of his influence in the State of Origin arena?
Yes, most definitely. And it's just a matter of time when Cameron Smith becomes an immortal, which, puts him alongside Wally as one of the all-time greats of our game. It is that simple, and I don't think anyone could argue that.
Mal, how difficult now does it become for Kevy? No Cronk, now no Smith, no Thurston going into this year's series?
Oh, it is difficult. There's no doubt. Needs a big hole. Can't replace him. You've got to replace him with a different player, with different skill sets and resources. So then build a plan around all that. But I think Kevy's got enough experience, understands Origin really well, and, he's a great coach. So, whilst Smithy's not there and John's not there and Cooper's not there, we move forward. We pick the players we think, can deliver at that level.
Hey, Mal, it's Del, mate. You must have been pretty happy to see guys like Latrell Mitchell and James Roberts go out their hardest last night. They were special to watch. Both possess different strengths.
Yeah, Mal, they're the two exciting centres of our competition. So, be interesting to see what Freddie does. Both of them, obviously, one's left, one's right. So, they did show their wares last night. I'm not supporting the Blues, of course.
But I've heard you talk about Latrell Mitchell, in that Australian sort of, yeah.
yeah, I love him, mate. I think he's, certainly he's starting to find his feet in the game. He certainly belongs, at the National Rugby League level, and, he's just a matter of time. And if Freddie does pick him, it's just a matter of time playing Origin footy and probably further representation in the Australian side. He's that good.
Kevin Walters said, of course, that once it became a weight off Cameron Smith's shoulders, it became a weight on his. What about you in terms of the Kangaroos? Is it just another opportunity now? There's a nine jersey that somebody's going to get deservedly?
Yeah, it is. It is. And a leader too, So, I mean, there's an opportunity for, from a captaincy point of view, both the Queensland side and obviously the national side as well. It just allows opportunity for those guys that have been behind Smithy for such a long time, the Andrew McCulloughs and the Jake Friends and of this world, and Jake Granville as well. I know they're all Queenslanders, but I mean, interested to see what Freddie picks from a nine perspective. But for me, I believe that Origin is a stepping stone into the national side, and whoever comes out on top there will probably have the front running for the nine jersey when it comes to Australia.
Yeah, nice.
What about for you, Mel? You enjoyed immense success as the Maroons coach. Who would you pick as your nine if you're in Kevy's shoes?
I think you'd go with a genuine nine, a guy that could play 80 minutes, a guy that can make 40 or 50 tackles and make some really good decisions under pressure, can kick in general play. I think that's really important. When you look at that, I guess Andrew McCulloch sort of is in front at the moment. Jake Friend's a great player. I've been waiting in the wings for such a long period of time, but probably Andrew's going a little bit better than Jake at the moment.
What about captaincy? GI has been the main talk. Obviously, there's Billy Slater there as well, and plenty of guys who have the leadership potential.
Yeah, I think GI. He's been there since day dot, basically, with all the success of the Queensland team. He came in 2006, and all of a sudden he's in the Australian side. He's got vast experience, captains. The Rabbitohs feels very comfortable in that role as well, which is important. And probably more importantly as well, is he got, at least three more years left in him, So, I mean, Billy was, it doesn't really matter if he's got a C beside his name, he'll be one of the leaders in the footy team. Not quite sure where Billy sits in his career.
Mel, it's kind of exciting though, isn't it? I mean, we see this transition. We spoke about it before on the show. Like, it's not just Queensland now that are trying to replace some of these great players, but you can see Freddie's going to bring in a fresh attitude and pick a new look New South Wales side. It's an exciting time in representative football at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it's excellent. It is really exciting, Gertz. There's so many really great young talent around at the moment. It probably will get their opportunity this year. And from a national point of view, I think that's exciting too. We've gone through that such a really strong era in recent times, and when one retires, someone else replaces them. That's the evolution just keeps on happening. So it could be New South Wales evolution. We don't know, I wouldn't put all my money on it.
Well spoken, Mel. I agree. These guys getting carried away.
Well, they're probably going to be $1.50 after this discussion, anyway.
Hey Del, what about Smithy makes an announcement? Last Tuesday, and all of a sudden Tuesday night, we're no chance now. So.
Yeah, I know. They're $1.50 favourites, mate. Typical big end in New South Wales.
Exactly.
Yeah, no,
exactly.
We're starting a new hashtag. What is it, Gerds? Hashtag talk to
Queensland.
Talk
Queensland.
See what they're trying to do to us, Mel? They never learn, do they, Mel?
You do such a good job of talking to
Queenslander properly.
Yes. You say Queenslander, we say we're earthlings. It's all good. Mel Meninga.
Where's Queensland?
All over the place. Mel Meninga, it is always great fun to have a chat with you. Thanks so much for joining us.
No worries, guys. Thank you.
Good stuff.
There he
Thanks,
is, a great man. We'll see. We'll run some things into the
That's
stock
That's a true
market.
Hashtag we're going to start.
Yeah. Which is simple, a hashtag talk Queensland up or hashtag talk the Maroons up? We'll work it
which
out.
Which one? Actually, we'll settle on one of them.
Actually,
because they're going to talk themselves down.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hopefully if Kevy's out there, can you text me and tell me if Sarko is a Queenslander. I know he's Tongan. He might be Tongan Queensland. So is he available for Origin or not?
This is Jermaine.
Yeah, Jermaine.
How good was he the winning trial last
night? I think if you go back far enough in time, they were all joined. Don't they?
Papua New Guinea, Fiji.
Absolutely. Hashtag talk the Maroons up. Yeah. That is going to be a thing, ladies and gentlemen. The stock market is next. Saturday, Triple M NRL. Triple M rocking the footy on the way to Gold Coast, taking on Newcastle Cbus Super Stadium. You will hear that right here and plenty more this afternoon. Peter Sterling will join us in just under an hour. We'll play Personal Mastermind with him, plus preview that game and plenty more. Brad Fittler just after 2 o'clock. Right now, though, time for the...
Nobody knows if a stock is going to go up.
The Triple M NRL Stock Market.
All right, see if you're going to spend up, you men. I've got a few topics here. The first one I think is terrific. Andrew Fifita, now we've seen over the past few days, he has already given his allegiance to playing for Tonga. There is a game that he would obviously clashes with State of Origin too. He said he declared that allegiance, so he was out of Origin, it would seem. Now, of late, there's been a few rumblings, including even Greg Alexander, who was working with Freddie on the New South Wales side, saying, well, you know, if he's available for 1 and 3... State of Origins 1 and 3, because they don't clash, why not pick him? Andrew Fifita, playing great as a prop, great as a leader at the Sharks, who have been injury hit all season. What do you think, Ryan Girdley? Are you buying, selling or holding?
Whether he plays Origin or not?
Yeah.
No, I'm selling.
Because?
Well, because I don't think it's a priority for him, for New South Wales, and I think that there's young guys out there and the people that New South Wales need and are looking for that have been waiting all their lives for this opportunity. And I think if you go to Campbell Gillard and you go to Vaughan and you go to some of these guys that are probably staring down the barrel at an opportunity, what they would give for that, they're the kind of people that we want in our side this year. And I just don't think Andrew Fifita, he's in great form at club level, and that's fantastic, and it's really good for the Sharks, and he'll put his best foot forward for Tonga. But for New South Wales, I think we go with guys that really want to be there.
Okay. Hoops?
Yeah, I'm selling for all the same reasons that Gers just said there. I think Freddie came out very early days and said that he's going to pick this team on form, and then also he's going to pick it on people as well, and we'll ask him when he comes on, because we're going to have him just after 2 o'clock later on this afternoon. But... to me, Andrew Fifita doesn't necessarily tick all those boxes. So, and most importantly, as Gers just pointed out, he made a decision earlier in the year. He declared his allegiance to Tonga. There's an anomaly in the rules that means he's available selection, but I wouldn't be going down that road.
Del?
Yeah, no, I'm selling. I mean, I think, you know, he made his decision. Same with the boys. You know, we know Fifita can play at Origin level. But he wants to play for Tonga. I think leave it at that. And I want to see guys like Regan Campbell-Gillard just rip in Origin. Even though I'm a Queenslander, I love watching that young firebrand play.
Just a hypothetical.
I get
this. What if he gets through the Tonga game and some of the props for New South Wales don't get through? It's 1-1 going into State of Origin 3. Are you going to pick
enough props. You've got enough props.
He'd be the first man picked.
You've got enough props to do the
really shallow hell. I love you.
I really get the pressure, though, that Freddie's really looking forward to getting like a group of guys that really haven't been that down that path before. They come in there and they're a little bit bright-eyed and they're looking at him and he's like taking them, you know, into that arena. I think that he's kind of looking for that sort of experience as well. And I think if you've got, like, you can have a couple of maybe the other guys that have been in there before, but if you have too many of them that don't really, they're not on the same path and they're not on the same journey, well, then it detracts from the whole point of the program.
And I reckon, like, Freddie is a bit different. Remember, we were getting beaten in the 2000 World Cup by Wales. We were 22-14 down, and Freddie comes in and he's our captain, and he goes, "How good's this, boys?" He goes, "We wanted a match," and he started laughing. He goes, "We put ourselves in position," and then like so, he doesn't mind that, and he'll just everyone will just want to play. You know, I think Freddie's style of football.
All right, and as I said, we'll hear from him just after 2. Sell for Andrew Fifita. But Todd Carney, as we know, he's moved down from North Queensland and to be closer to his mum, who is ill. Now, there's talk of him playing for Norths, who are currently a feeder side for South Sydney. And we hear during the week that South Sydney, if this was to take place, that Todd Carney was to go there, they may, in fact, move away from North Sydney as a feeder. The Roosters may go in there. Now, I don't know whether because of the depths in the halves of South Sydney or whatever it is, or just the Todd Carney factor. Todd Carney playing for North Sydney. Wendell Saylor, you buying or selling or holding?
Oh, look. I'm selling. I just, look, Todd's a good player. There's some really good young players coming through. I know the way, you know, Anthony Seibold, I suppose, thinks. And, I want Todd to have another opportunity. But I think it's got to be a bit of a two-way street. So if the NRL club is saying, you know, they're not interested in that, if he's going to come back and play reserve grade,
he's got to go where there's a pathway.
That's it, you know?
Yep, okay.
Yeah.
Selling there. What about you, Hoops?
I'll buy. I'm happy for Todd Carney to get another opportunity at some point. I think he's been out of the game for a long time.
Yeah.
He's moved back here for family reasons. And yeah, look, if he wants to play footy and he wants to have another crack, and it's got to be through ISP, and he gets some runs on the board, and then an NRL club wants to pick him up, well, yeah, terrific.
How was he going at Northern Pride, mate? Do you know?
I never watched him play, but I spoke to a few people who used to watch the games up there, and yeah, he was having a crack, yeah.
All right, what are you doing, Kurds? Tone, I met Todd a couple of times. He's a really decent fella, but for mine, I think we're talking too much about him. I'm really over a little bit of the Todd Carney journey, you know, to be honest. I think there's enough kids coming through the systems that could get an opportunity, and we spend some time on those guys at the moment. So I'm kind of selling the whole Todd Carney thing at the moment. I wish him and his family all the best, but I just think it's time that, you know, we kind of move on a little bit.
Right, with that, I swiftly move on from Todd Carney to Josh Mansour. The Panthers have signed him up. Obviously, that hideous facial injury that he copped. He's got the new face on, looked good on the sidelines. Got a huge roar from the crowd when he was introduced, as he should, because he's had that was a shocking injury. He can play footy. It's a big signing for them to get him back.
Yeah, I'll buy that because, you know, for people like that are important in your club. You know, and he's just not a great player and a great asset, you know, on the field. But, you know, he's a great clubman. He's great with the fans. And, yeah, he's just the kind of person you want in your organisation. So really happy for the club and really happy for the source, and glad he's going to be out there for another 3 years.
Great signing, good fella. Yeah, very happy. And I think a win-win for the player and also for the Panthers, the club as well.
Oh, yeah, I love Josh Mansour. And it's just good to see. You know, talk about loyalty and that. It's good to see. You know, Penrith have got so many good juniors out there. Obviously, we saw two good young wingers. I think one of the wingers that just signed for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, Christian Crichton.
Yeah, Crichton. Yeah. You can tell.
They call him the Samoan sauce.
Yeah. So they might have, you know, do they? Mate, unbelievable. But
what do they call him?
The Samoan sauce.
Why?
Well, because he's like a clone of Josh Mansour. So Josh Mansour's nickname is Sauce.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
So
okay.
Christian Crichton's the Samoan Sauce.
Oh, because he's Samoan. Yeah. Oh, sweet. Cool.
Mate, I didn't make the nickname up. No, I'm just telling you what his nickname is.
It's all good. It's all good.
Thank you, Dr. Obvious.
All captain.
There's the NRL stock market for
is that
you.
It?
We're going to get to the
end. Is that it?
That it, Tone?
Yeah.
There's only like three topics.
Well, it's going to go Shannon Boyd. Okay, if you want to keep going on the stock market, Shannon Boyd.
Nah, don't worry about it, mate.
Don't worry about it.
It's Gordon Girdler here. Come on, mate. Give him a crack. He loves the stock market.
We're talking the Bulldogs salary cap next on Saturday, Triple M NRL. Great to love your Triple M footy tipping, sharing thousands with Triple M footy tipping. Sign up this weekend with the Triple M NRL app. Touch footy, what is the story now? Obviously, one of the great things as a spectator was to go and watch the young guys run around, whether it be in the old days, the President's Cup, under-23s, the reserve grade, or the New South Wales Cup. If touch footy seems to be taking over as the game before the main one, the NRL. And this has caused a lot of issues. Social media, a lot of people have fired up. Former players talking about how special it was for them to play with the NRL first graders, watching them as they run around reserve grade. Good crowd in. What do you mean? Obviously, there's difficulties with scheduling, but shouldn't this be a priority that we get those games on?
Well, I'm not sure. There's an affiliation now between, I think, the New South Wales or Australian Touch Association,
yeah.
You know, which I think is fantastic because they're going to get young people that aren't necessarily keen on the contact in their early years and get them into the game at some level. And I think the affiliation is fantastic. But I've said this now for the last couple of months, Tony, that, you know, you go out to ANZ Stadium and we might call the 4 o'clock game on a Sunday and you get there at 3 o'clock. And there's no one in the stadium. They don't even open it until about 3:30. And, you know, I just remember growing up and sitting on the hill with my old man and watching 21s and reserve grade. And then you follow the journey of certain players as well. Yep. It's like you actually feel like, you know, you're part of his debut kind of thing. And it's like, oh, yeah, remember this guy?
Yep.
Dad, he was playing here and he was great here and now he gets his chance. And I think that that's culturally just something that I've known. And unfortunately, it's not there anymore. And also from a player's perspective, you know, you used to go and if you're playing 21s and you knew some of the first grade players were sitting up in the stand or the first grade coach and that were there, I mean, it meant something to you. So I'm not sure who's accountable or responsible, whether it's the NRL or whether it's the individual clubs and they need to work out their programming. But they just need to make it happen somehow.
And obviously, that's for your game day experience. There is, on the flip side, there is these young guys who are playing with, early games are on telly these days. Yep. You get to see them. You can kind of follow the journey and know what's going on if you follow your side.
But isn't it all about the game day experience and getting up and actually becoming part of and that's what they do at the AFL. You know, they all get up, they all go through this sort of their game day preparation as a fan, and then they walk down to the ground and they meet a certain place. And that's what we need to create. We need to create, like, if you know your side play on a Sunday, where you go through the Sunday routine and you go somewhere for lunch, or you meet other people that are going, and then you go and watch the game, and it becomes like a tradition and a ritual more than just, oh, I'm just going to pop out and watch one game of footy at ANZ Stadium with 6,000 other people, you know.
I know, but I don't think we can blame, like, the Touch Association. They've seen opportunity, and it works well. Look, we've had some great players come through. I think, you know, young Fieldy from the Dragons, Sean Johnson.
Look at Kalen Ponga.
Kalen Ponga. So I can understand what they're doing there. Yeah, great affiliation. I can understand. So they might have been given opportunity. I don't know who pays for what or whatever, but I was sitting down there watching it this morning with my young bloke Tristan, because he came through, he played New South Wales Touch and that. So I actually enjoy watching that touch football, but I understand with, you know, the jersey flag and all these players coming through the ISP, so I do understand what you guys are saying, but I enjoy watching the touch football.
All right, Hoops, the other story I've noted during the week, there was an interview today, I think, with Lynn Anderson from the Bulldogs, but also through the week, the realisation of the impact of back-ended contracts is happening at the Bulldogs, with the notion that they're not really going to be in the market for marquee players until, what, 2021 was the number that I've seen.
Yeah, it's a way off tone. Look, the Bulldogs had a briefing with all of their members, and they also had some members of the media out there on Thursday. They did a terrific job explaining the reasoning behind why things are the way that they are. They weren't bitter, or they weren't pointing fingers at anybody, but I'm independent, so I can. So, look, the reason that the Bulldogs are in the mess that they're in is because Des Hasler, Ray Lancastle and Ray Dibb made a series of bad decisions around recruitment. They worked off a $10 million salary cap. The salary cap at the moment is $9.3 million. And so they got themselves into a real jam with back-ended contracts. That's been the real Achilles heel for the Bulldogs here. That's why they're not going to be able to go into the market until 2021. But in relation to their current roster, they have 25 players that are contracted for next season. So they need to bring an additional 5 players in on top of that. And they do have some money. They've signed Christian Crichton. They're not broke. They're not going to get to a situation where they can't field a side or fill the 30 spots on their roster. But they have to make some hard decisions. They're not actively shopping players who are on their current roster. But most certainly Moses Mbai, who's a damn good player in my view, rival clubs are circling Moses at the moment. I think the Cowboys and also the West Tigers are both having a look at Moses. And at some point, there could be a negotiation between those clubs and the Bulldogs about trying to get Moses to shift clubs.
But even, like, listening to Clemmer and that, it's just like those players are opening because they understand what's happening in and around their club. They know it's not personal, but it's business.
But what is the solution?
Yeah, 100%.
And what is the solution to that problem? If you can't buy players, if you know, in terms of salary cap there, are they going to have to kind of move swiftly into being a development club where it's, because they're juniors, they lose
they
a lot
want
of
to
it.
Do that anyway. So you look at a Penrith and the Panthers, they've got the biggest local junior nursery, but since Gus Gould's gone back there, they've done a fantastic job at getting the right systems in place. Ivan Cleary started, Anthony Griffin has now presided over it in his tenure as head coach as well, and they're just brilliant at bringing through, identifying the best local talent, and they're a development club. That's what the Bulldogs were always built on. But when Desi Hasler went there, the way Des used to like to do business, he'd see a premiership window and he'd just try and rip the door off the hinges and get straight through it and loft an NRL trophy. It worked at Manly, but at Canterbury it hasn't worked. And one area that club has always been strong in prior to Des's arrival was the fact that they were a development club. They loved bringing local juniors like Terry Lamb and players like that through their system. But unfortunately, they moved away from that under the new governance of the club. Lynn Anderson is the chair. That's the direction that they want to head back down.
All right. Some tough times for the Bulldogs fans. Plenty to come. Brad Fittler will join us very shortly. We're talking Saturday Triple M NRL.